forward in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, all throughout this past year, if you've been here, you know we've been talking about, and it's in Galatians 5:22, and it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these fruit represent the character or the attributes of Jesus. And if we want to be his representative, if we want to be his ambassador and allow people to see Christ in us and to show the world who Jesus is, then we need to make sure that this fruit is growing in us. That's what we want. And if you're ever thinking about yourself and you're saying like, well, I know I'm definitely not there yet. Well, join the club. You know, we're all in the same boat. We're all on this journey to become more like Christ. We're not there. This is a process. This is a journey. We were talking about this Wednesday at the home meeting about, you know, and somebody mentioned about how, man, I sometimes I just feel like I blow it, you know, and I said, well, you know what? The important thing is that you recognized. Because the problem comes is when we don't even see that we're not there. But when we see that we've failed, when we see that we've fallen, when we see that we haven't reached that level yet of perfection that we want, that means that the Holy Spirit is in us, working in us, and pointing out, bringing conviction, showing us that hey, here's an area where we can improve. Here's an area where we can grow. And so don't worry when you find yourself lacking in some area, when you find yourself messing up. We brush ourselves off, we pick ourselves up and go again. Over the past couple months, we've been looking at each one of these fruit individually. And 2 weeks ago, the last time I spoke, I began to look at one of the most important ones, and I'll tell you why in a minute. They're all important. Every one is important, especially love at the beginning. But this one at the end, self-control, is something that sort of wraps it up, and it's a very important fruit. We need to recognize that we're in a battle. And it's like a war that's going on up here in our brain and, you know, even in our heart. And it's a war that's going on between God's Spirit within us and our flesh. And this war is a continuous battle. And it just goes on. And God is calling us in the midst of this battle to put to death this flesh, this carnal nature, to crucify it, to deal with it. And to do that, it requires this self-control. That's sort of the tool that he's given us, one of the tools that he's given us, a very important tool to deal with this flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, gives us some insight into this battle and the consequences also that can arise whenever, you know, whichever way we choose. Because we can either go down the path of the flesh or we can go towards the Spirit. And there are consequences, real consequences, for whichever path we choose to walk on. Romans 8:5-8 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So whenever we're operating in the flesh, we're not pleasing God. Romans 8:12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have a job to do. But it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I'm talking spiritual death here. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Some of the phrases, a couple of those phrases that I just mentioned in that verse, the mind governed by the Spirit. Or we have an obligation not to the flesh, but to live by the Spirit. Both of those and more are talking about controlling, self-control, this self-control, doing this by the power of the Spirit. Not too many people like the idea of that word, self-control. Because it sounds like, every time we think of self-control, it sounds like sacrifice, it sounds like denial, it sounds like pain and suffering and torture, you know? Self-control, man, I got to get that thing, I got to get this under control, I got to deal with this, I know, we don't want to do it sometimes. There's things that we just don't feel like doing, and so we bunch all this into this whole idea of self-control. And when we're trying to do this self-control, when we're trying to control the flesh with the flesh, yes, it's very hard. It's torturous. It's painful. It's terrible. Because it's like there's a war going on between ourselves. Our flesh is trying to control our flesh. And it just doesn't compute. But what we're talking about is something that's totally different. We're talking about giving the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who's alive in us, giving Him the authority, allowing Him to transform our flesh. Holy Spirit, come in, have your way, teach me, train me, show me, lead me, so that we no longer have to be a slave to this flesh, to these fleshly desires. Spirit-led self-control is not torture. In fact, what happens is it's a new type of freedom that we're able to enjoy. Freedom from the bondage. And it is bondage. Freedom from the bondage of this flesh, of sin and death. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, since there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus the law of the Spirit gives life. That's what we're talking about, being under this law. Instead of being under the law of sin and death, living by the flesh, for the flesh, under the authority and the power of the flesh, we give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. So he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh. He put out a bounty on this sin in the flesh. He condemned it in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So all that is saying is that as we live by the Spirit, as we give the Holy Spirit the freedom to work in us, then a whole new thing begins to happen. There's a whole new freedom in our life that will lead to life instead of to death. Ask yourself, would you rather be controlled by the flesh or would you, and be sent and know that you're going to be dying, or would you rather be controlled by the Spirit and have life? I think it's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? I would hope. Holy Spirit, life, blessing, power, all kinds of good things, flesh, bondage, sin, death, all kinds of bad things. So I hope every one of us would willingly choose to go the way of the Spirit. Now, to do that, though, we have to submit ourselves to the Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to work in our life. And this is where we give Him control. So what we're saying is that this self-control is in reality allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and control ourself. We're giving Him control over this self. That's the self-control we're talking about. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing where we just discipline ourselves. Discipline is good. To discipline ourselves is good. But this is beyond that. This is not just us by pure willpower making ourselves do this and do that. No matter that it's terrible, that it feels bad, that it's torturous, that it's hard, I'm going to make myself do it. I'm going to struggle and do it. You know, there's some value in that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's a whole different way. And the biblical definition of this self-control means that we're going to be able to master our passions, our desires, our lusts, our thoughts, and our fleshly impulses through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is. That's what this fruit of the Spirit is. The result of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit means it's a result of Spirit-led living. It's really true freedom when you think about it. This is really gives us a true freedom that maybe some of us haven't experienced to the degree that we would like to yet, because it's so much freedom over this bondage of our sin nature. It's freedom because it's not about works done in the flesh. So this freedom is about learning. It comes down to learning how to let the Holy Spirit guide us into His truth, into the truth of God, and understanding that truth and then walking in that truth. So as we do that, as we learn and understand and walk in this truth, then there comes a new freedom, a new freedom. So we know that the Holy Spirit is going to be working in us and through us to cause this fruit to increase. So what is our part? That's what we have to figure out now. What is our part? Because we should know that even though the Holy Spirit is working in us, He empowers us. That's one of the things that He does, is He empowers us to be able to do things that we would never be able to do otherwise. But we still have our part to play, don't we? We do. We have our own job to do. So if we want to have the victory in this battle, we have to know, you know, what's our part and what's the Holy Spirit part, how to work all this out. So the question is, what can we do? What can we do to grow in this self-control? Well, before we can even begin to do our part, the first thing we know that is that we need to know that is, according to God's word, we actually can grow in this. We can learn this self-control, even the Spirit-led self-control. We have to learn about it. We have to grow in it. When the Apostle Paul was talking to Titus in the book of Titus, it says that he left him in Crete where he was, and Paul left him there to oversee these churches there and to help establish order in those churches. And then this is what he says to him. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, he goes, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled. So we see right there, teach them to be self-controlled. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. In other words, there it is again, self-control. Not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that none will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. So Paul is telling Titus, I want you to get the churches in order, the families in order, you know, all the people, help them to learn how to live right, and teach every one of them, every different group, how to be self-controlled and what that means for that group. So obviously, from reading that section of Scripture, we know that we can grow in, we can learn self-control. Next, as with every one of the fruit of the Spirit, the most important thing is our relationship with God. If we want to grow in self-control, we need to be concerned about our relationship with God. What happens is all too often we try to get hold of the benefits. We try to get hold of the blessings and the gifts and the, you know, the fruit of God without really getting hold of God Himself. And that's impossible. God is calling us to come close to Him, to draw near to me, He says. It is the depth of our relationship, the deepness or the depth of our relationships, the strength of our relationship with God that will determine the amount of blessing in our life, the amount of power in our life, the amount of victory in our life, and the amount of self-control in our life. This is a really important truth that we need to get a hold of. We can't just run after the blessings. We have to run after God. We can't just run after self-control. And that's what sometimes people do. Or they just want to run after love. Or they want to run after patience. Or run after joy or peace. Oh, I just need the peace of God. I just need the peace of God. Well, we can't get the peace of God without knowing God. All these things are an outgrowth of our relationship with God. They are the attributes or the character of God, as I mentioned earlier. And what happens is they come alive in us. These things come alive in us as we begin to learn to live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So learning self-control isn't something we're going to get in a book. I mean, there are things we can learn about it, but the real root of that power, the real root of joy, if you want joy in your life, the real root of peace, if you want peace in your life, the real root of love is always going to be this relationship with God. And as we press into God, we begin to find these things. We can't run after the things. We have to run after the giver, not the gift. God's word tells us to seek first His kingdom. To do that, we have to draw close to God, to get His heart, to get hold of His heart. And we draw nearer to God, even we saw Paul said, even in our weakness, we find His strength. When we are weak, that's when we become strong, in Christ, in God. So the number one thing we can do to get more self-control is develop our relationship with God. The next thing we need to do is have knowledge of His Word. 2 Peter 1, 3, and then also in 5 and 6 it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And then verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Remember, God's word is living and active. It's alive. It gets right inside of us, and it deals with things. It judges the thoughts and the intents and the attitudes of our heart. God's word will poke and prod and teach and train and instruct. God's word will just get right in there and begin to tell us. And if we begin to love God's word and really go after God's word, that word then will come alive in us and strengthen us and help us to deal with those issues that we're trying to deal with. And so it helps to build self-control. Without godly knowledge, how do we even know what we're supposed to control? I mean, a little kid that somebody might say, well, those kids are out of control. You know why they're usually out of control? Because the parents haven't taught them control. They don't understand yet. They don't quite get it. I mean, of course, they're kids, and they're going to be, you know, a little bit wild. But as we teach them, as they grow, we teach them what's proper. And then they learn some self-control. But they need to know. Somebody needs to tell them. And just like us, we need to be able to know God's word and get that knowledge and understand what God wants from us. We can't depend on our own heart, because if you know the Bible, it tells you that our heart is deceitful. You know, and it's going to tell us the wrong stuff. We're going to say, oh, I really feel in my heart that's a good thing. Well, God's word may tell us exactly the opposite. So if our heart tells us a good thing and we don't know, we don't have the knowledge of God's word, we may be doing the wrong thing and we're out of control. The next thing we need to do to grow in self-control is to trust in God, to believe in him, to have faith in him. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Believing in what's there, but we just can't see it. That's faith. So we need to believe in what God has told us. We need to believe his word, where he tells us that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's an ever-present help in times of trouble, and that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And that he's working out all these things in our life for our good, as long as we love him and are called according to his purpose. And we also need to trust in God's authority. If you remember, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he sent out the apostles, he sent out his disciples, and he sends us out, and he gives us that same authority. He's given us authority. And one of the things that he's given us authority over is ourself. So we need to believe that. We need to have a faith in God, that God will work. All things are possible for him who believe. With man, this might seem impossible. With God, all things are possible. So we need to have faith in these scriptures that teach us that, yes, we can have self-control. We can get control of this self. It's not impossible. Remember, God, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. That's from God. Another thing we need to do to grow in self-control is to watch what we put in our mind. You know, if we feed our mind a constant diet of worldly things, you know what happens then? It stimulates our flesh. Worldly enticements, worldly things stimulate our fleshly, carnal nature. But if we do what Philippians 4:8 says, we stimulate the Spirit. Think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. When we think on those things, we're stimulating the Holy Spirit. When we get into God's Word, when we think of what's good, when we worship, when we pray, when we focus on God, we're invigorating this spiritual side, our spiritual nature. We're enlivening it. We're bringing it to life. We're stimulating it. We're causing it to have a bigger part in us. And that's what we need to do. And as we do that, one of the natural outgrowths of that, of the Holy Spirit in us, will be self-control. Another thing we can do is to train and discipline our body. I'm giving you all the different little things that we tell everybody I know, oh man, I just need more self-control. And so there's all these things that the Word of God shows us. Another thing we can do is train or discipline our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, tells us all about this need for self-discipline. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." This is for all of us. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." So, in other words, if we're competing in life, if we're fighting the flesh, this is our competition. This is our race. This is our battle. This is our struggle. We're trying to beat this flesh and overcome it by the Spirit. And that's our competition. So to do that, we have to go into strict training. Training is a discipline. They do it to get a crown that will not last. People in the world, or even when we do things in the world, it's a crown that we win there that doesn't last. You know, you win the title this year, next year, nobody even hardly remembers that. You know, it's all over, it comes all over again. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air." In other words, we're not going to just waste our time doing things that don't make any difference, that don't matter. "No, I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." We're talking about discipline. That's what that's all about. It's about discipline. It's pretty clear that God doesn't want us wasting our time beating the air, running aimlessly, wandering, just floating through life. God wants us to make the most of every opportunity. The time is short. The days are short. He tells us to make the most of every opportunity. So we need to do what we can do to do that. Study to show ourselves approved. Take care of our mind and our body. We need to sleep. We need to eat healthy. We need to exercise, and we need to relax. We need to do things that help us to relax. We need to do things that inspire us and motivate us. All common sense things to discipline our body, to just, you know, to not just abandon everything that would make us better, but instead take note of what we need to live right. We're sick, we go to the doctor, you know, I mean, maybe take vitamins, I mean, exercise, whatever the things are that will... Every one of these things are a discipline to our body. Going out for a walk, you know, doing certain things that make us feel better, make us healthier. All this adds to discipline. God sees us as disciples in training. You know, and we weren't created to pamper our flesh. That's not why we're here, to live to just pamper this flesh for our whole life. God's called us to get this flesh under control. Another thing we can do is build on success. Start out small, but let each success build upon the next one. Build upon maybe something a little bit harder the next time, but we start out small. Again, don't bite off something bigger than you can chew. Take it one piece at a time, one step at a time. Remember when Jesus one time was talking and he said, those who can be trusted with very little can be trusted with very much. And then the ones who were successful in the smaller, were successful in what they did, he gave them even more. So he was giving them more. And it's just like when we start an exercise. You know, you don't go in and put all the weight on the very first time. You'll kill yourself. You put on a little bit, and then you get used to that. Then you put on a little more. You get used to that, you put on a little more. And so there's a process there. Another thing that we can do that will help us to grow in self-control is to have hope. Hope in the future. Hope for what the good things that God has in store for us. 1 Peter 1:13 and 14 says, to be controlled, be self-controlled, and set your hope on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. We need to remember that the hope that God gives us is not wishful thinking. It's a different kind of hope. It's not, oh, I hope I win. Hope I win the lottery. You know, hope I don't, you know, slip in the snow today. You know, I hope this, I hope that. Hope is different. It's the hope that God is talking about is a faith in God's future promises. I mean, the things that faith is evidence of things we can't see now. Hope is the things that we can't see in the future that are still from God. They're coming, but they're just not here yet. And so we can't see them. Romans 5:5 says that, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. So there's this hope that God wants us to have, and it's an expectation of things to come. And when we know that something is coming, we can make ourselves do what we have to do to get there. Another way to get self-discipline. And one last thing I'll look at is, and finally I'll end up, we'll end up with perseverance. Because we have to have perseverance. You know, we have to do that, and that will help us to have self-control, knowing that we have to persevere, and then persevering itself actually helps to build self-control. In 2 Peter 1:5-6, we already read that earlier, but if I go one step further in it, you'll see, it says, for this very reason, here again, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge. We talked about the knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. See, God knows that we need, even when we have self-control, we have to persevere in that self-control. And also the perseverance, like I said, then helps us to grow in self-control. It feeds on it. Because if we don't persevere, if we don't finish the race, none of what we've done matters. We have to persevere. We can't give up. If we fall down, we have to get back up. I've said this in the past many times. You know, falling doesn't mean failure. Failure is when we refuse to get back up. We've fallen and we'll continue to fall. We'll continue to mess up. But we get back up. We brush ourselves off and we go forward again. That's persevering. Not giving up. Don't give up. Continue on. The struggle is good. It's worth it. To persevere takes a lot of self-control. It really does. We have sometimes we don't. I mentioned this just back a few weeks ago about this movie I saw, Hacksaw Ridge. And this guy, it's a great movie, and this guy is laying up there. He's a Christian guy, and he's laying up there after he just saved somebody, and he's dead tired. He doesn't even think he can make it, but he starts praying, Lord, give me one more. One more. And he pushes himself, and he does it. And he did that 75 times. Well, I think about Jesus. How much self-control did it take for him to go to that cross? When he was praying in that garden, he was sweating blood. And he asked his father, Father, if there's any other way. But he didn't get that answer of another way. And so he had to persevere in the job that he knew he had to do. And he did it. Giving up and indulging our flesh is the easy way out. And you know what? Our flesh is always, always looking for the easy way out. It is. We have to know that ahead of time. We need to know that this flesh is always looking for the easy way out. Just kick back and relax. Just take it easy. Live in that easy chair. You know, forget about all the duties. Forget about the obligations. Forget about this. Forget about that. I just want to take it easy. I deserve a break. I shouldn't have to do this. I don't have to do that. That's our flesh talking. That's our flesh talking. But when we persevere and we learn this self-control, we need to know that what's really happening here is we're really allowing, and what we've been talking about is to ourselves to be spirit controlled. This is what we've been talking about this whole time. This is not, I got to make that clear, we're not forcing, our flesh is not forcing our flesh. We submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him, His power, to enable us to do that thing. We have to trust in God. In our weakness is His strength. We say, Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this. We pray and we ask God, God, give me the strength to go do this thing. And all of a sudden, as we begin to press into God, we feel like, I can do this. I can do this. And we start to get energized. We start to feel the passion. We start to feel the joy. We start to feel the power. And we begin to move again and do what we know we were supposed to do in the first place, but our flesh just didn't want to do. And how many times have we heard ourselves making excuses? And we know those temptations come in. The devil wants us to kick back. He wants to make us ineffective and unproductive Christians. That's his goal. Now, let him be a Christian. Just don't let him do anything. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be self-controlled because he knows, God knows, and he wants us to know that this is where we're going to find true freedom. It really is. This is where we're going to find a freedom where we're going to be set free from the bondages of ourself like never before. Being controlled by our flesh is really a bondage. And then what happens is we begin to grow and flow in God's purposes for our life. We're no longer going to be sowing seeds into our own destruction. That's what we do when we listen to the flesh. Instead, we're going to be sowing in seeds of life. And not only into our own self, but every time when we are obedient to God and we move out under the Spirit's control, as we're led by the Spirit, we're not only sowing seed into our life, but into everyone else we come into contact with. We're giving them a touch of God. Because we let the Spirit control us, and we pushed aside our flesh, we're feeding the Spirit. We're giving the Spirit to everyone that we touch. And it's not going to be our willpower. It's God's power. It's Spirit power. The true spirit of self-control. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. We're going to close up. And I just wanted to mention one last thing here that comes from a scripture that I already read. It's in Romans 8, 5, and 6. And it says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And then in verse 6, right after, it says, the mind governed and or controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And it's talking about those who are Spirit-led there. Self-control is not torture. It's not torture. It's freedom from the bondage of our flesh and our carnal nature. And then it goes on and it says here that the mind controlled or governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. This life and peace is for every one of us. A life of abundance. A life of power. A life of blessing. It's life as God would have us live it. It's life. It's peace within us. At peace with God. No longer being at war with God, because when we live under this flesh, when we are under the control of the flesh, we're at war with God. We're literally at war with God. But when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, now we are at peace with God, and then we have peace in ourselves. So we have life and peace when we allow the Spirit to control us. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about. Lord, every one of these things are wonderful, wonderful blessings from you, Lord God. And today, Lord, we focused on self-control. And I pray that each one of us here, every single one of us, would be able to get hold of that vision, that desire, that and have that desire to be truly led by your Spirit, to give up this flesh control, the carnal nature's control, and to run after your Holy Spirit so that we might allow your Spirit to begin to work in ourselves, to work in our bodies, to work in our lives, to allow you to have control of us, Lord God. Spirit-led self-control. Lord, help us to walk in that, to know that and understand it. Lord, and I pray your blessing upon each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.